This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. That quote, written in 1654 by the famous scientist, philosopher, and writer Blaise Pascal, has been repeated many, many times over the 350 years or so since then, but it was never really put to the test until now. A recent study in the journal Science shows that, sure enough, most people really don't like being alone with their thoughts. In fact, they hate it so much that they'd rather shock themselves than sit quietly in a room alone. And as Pascal predicted, that's especially true for men. In the study, 2 out of 3 men chose to self-administer an electric shock rather than spend just 15 minutes alone thinking to themselves. Aaron Westgate is a PhD student in psychology, University of Virginia, and one of the authors of the study. He's going to help us make sense of these shocking results. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Did you know that Pascal quote before you did this?
No, but I found it pretty soon afterwards, and I love it. I laughed hysterically when I heard it for the first time.
Tell us about walk us through the study. This is almost so incredible to hear what happened in this study. Tell us what you did.
So we did something very simple. We brought people into the lab and told them that we were going to have them sit in a room for 10 to 20 minutes. And before they did that, we took everything away from them. We took their cell phones, their watches, iPods, you know, any personal possessions. And then we just sat them down. We showed them some pictures, some happy pictures, some sad pictures. And we showed them this button that would shock them if they pressed it. And we had them do this just for practice. And we asked them how pleasant it was and whether they'd pay to not have to be shocked again. And they told us the shock was unpleasant. They told us they'd pay money if we gave them money to not have to be shocked again. And then we said, great. For the next 10 to 20 minutes, we just want you to sit here in this room, this empty room, and entertain yourself with your thoughts. There's only 2 rules. You can't get out of your chair, and you can't fall asleep. But besides that, your goal is to have a pleasant time, just entertain yourself with your thoughts, try to have pleasant thoughts. And if you want to, you can press this button and receive an electric shock again. Now, they'd already told us that they didn't like the shock. They'd already told us they would pay not to receive the shock again, so we weren't really expecting that people would do that and shock themselves. But at the end of the study, we found that about 70% of the men and 25% of the women chose to shock themselves during that 12 minutes instead of just sitting there and entertaining themselves with their thoughts.
They did it for nothing.
No, they totally didn't have to.
I mean, they didn't have to be paid to do it either.
No, we tried to get them not to do it the way we set it up.
Wow. And now this, of course, usually it always starts out with college students, right?
Yes.
So you might expect, oh, they want to tweet or something and they're just fidgety. But you found that it crossed all kinds of barriers.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, this whole line of research started with a whole different question, which is how can we help people think better? And then when we started doing it, we're like, ooh, people can't really do this very well at all. And so our question really changed to what's going on here. And of course, one of the things that we thought of was maybe this is just college kids.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something, maybe the students at the University of Virginia are a little off, you know, who knows. So we actually went to a local church and recruited congregation members. So they were mostly older people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, a few in their 70s. We also went to a local farmers market here in Charlottesville and asked for volunteers from the community. Again, these were much older adults, far, far past college age. And we had them do it in their home without the shock since we weren't there to supervise them. But we asked them to do the same thing, just to sit there at a time of their own choosing when they were alone and entertain themselves with their thoughts for 10 to 15 minutes. And again, they were terrible at it. They told us afterwards it was boring. They didn't enjoy it. Over half of them confessed to cheating during the period, so they weren't supposed to get on their phones or talk to other people. And when we asked them afterwards, over half said that they actually had done that, even though they knew they weren't supposed to. I know. And those were just the ones that were honest with us. So,
but yeah. Why the difference in men? I mean, you said 70% of the men would rather shock themselves?
Yeah, 67% to be exact, but you know, I honestly think part of it is just sensation seeking. It wasn't that the men had a harder time thinking than the women. We haven't found that in any of the studies. Both men and women find it pretty hard just to sit and think. But the way they react is very different. Men do tend to be much higher and sensation seeking, so like wanting to go on roller coaster rides, that sort of thing. So maybe the shock was more appealing in some way to them. Or another sort of idea we've tossed around privately a little is there's a little bit of research that women are just better psychology participants. They try to follow directions better. They work harder. They really want to please the researcher better. And some of the women afterwards told us, you know, I really, really, really wanted to press that button and shock myself. It was so boring, but I knew I was supposed to be thinking instead. So I didn't press it, but I wanted to.
So, but there was one guy who pressed it 190 times. Right?
Oh my God, yes. He, you know, we went back afterwards and we're like, can you even do that with our program? Like, is that even possible? Will the computer program actually let you do it? And it will. But, you know, it was only 12 minutes, and 190 times in 12 minutes is like 10 times a minute or more. So he must have just been like, beep, 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 beep. I don't know what was up with him. I would love to get him back and ask.
Could it be that men just like to push buttons more than women do? You know?
I don't know. Maybe we should do it again and just, you can just press this button. It'll do absolutely nothing. But if you want to, you can press it.
So you said there's a bigger problem, the bigger question you're trying to answer.
Yes.
And are you closer to getting an answer to it?
I don't know. I think this is a study that really the more we find out, the more questions it raises. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the big question is, why would someone do this? Mm. Why is it so hard to entertain ourselves with our thoughts that we're willing to turn to almost anything, it sort of seems, to avoid it? And there's some ideas we're actually really excited about following up on the study and researching. Maybe it's just an issue of mental control, you know, because I don't know about you, but I have times where I do this in everyday life where I'm just like walking down the street or taking a shower and you lose yourself in a pleasant daydream about your vacation. So it's not that we can never enjoy thinking, but something about doing it on command at a certain time and deliberately, that deliberateness is really, really hard, which suggests that it may be an issue of mental control. It may be that our minds were just not designed to withdraw from the environment, withdraw from the people around us, and really tunnel in and focus inwards. And
maybe if you can do it at your choosing, at the time of day, maybe in the evening.
Well, you know, we tried that.
Yeah.
We let people go home and do it whenever they chose to, because we thought, you know, it is kind of weird. We're bringing you into a lab and asking you to do this kind of randomly in the middle of your day, and maybe they'd be better at it if they got to pick the time, but that didn't seem to help so much.
Now, you hear these stories of Einstein was famous about this. He'd go for a walk, and I give it a little tink, is what he used to say in English. and they would go for a walk and think about things, but maybe the room, I don't know. You know, it's just such an astounding result that you got. I can see why you're baffled.
No, yes, we were really surprised. You know, we really debated before we ran the study, like, is anyone going to shock themselves? And me and Tim and David and Dan Gilbert, a bunch of the co-authors, we were all sitting around. We should have had a betting pool or something, because half of us were like, no way, this is ridiculous. You can do it if you want. People are not going to do this.
Do you have a follow-up in mind?
We have several follow-ups.
Yeah.
One of them, actually, your idea about going for a walk is one that we'd love to test, because we have the same intuition that something, whether it's the movement or the scenery around you, mm-hmm. might be really helpful. So we have one version where we're going to see if, like, taking people for a virtual walk, so showing them sort of imagery of a moving walk on the computer screen, might help. We've talked about maybe getting, be fun to ask for a grant budget for this, getting like an elliptical machine or something into the lab to see if just the act of walking helps.
What about people who are trained in meditation who do this during the day normally, or have taught themselves yoga, meditation, mindfulness, things like that?
You know, we kept looking for things like this because we really want to believe people can do this. And we did find a very, very, very teensy small correlation between meditation experience and your ability to enjoy this kind of thinking, so that people who had more experience were like just an itsy bit better at it, but it wasn't like the answer, you know, it wasn't the key we were looking for. But then again, maybe if we got people with more experience, it'd be different.
What was there a cluster of time after X number of minutes that they went for the button?
You know, you just hit a question on the head that we are asking right now. We just asked one of our collaborators, Casey Brown, who programmed the study, if we could get that data back from the program. So I do not know, but we really would like to dredge up the data and analyze that and find out.
And this is something that our listeners can try at home, right?
Absolutely. All you need is a little kitchen egg timer and an empty room.
And don't shock yourself.
Yes, please. Maybe don't have a novel. No shocking, please.
No shocking. Well, this is quite interesting. And, you know, stay in touch. You want to hear what comes on with your further research.
Absolutely.
All right, Erin, thanks for taking time to be with us today. Good luck
to you.
Thank
you so much.
Erin Westgate is a PhD student in psychology at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville.